going to be like big tiny homes.
Yeah, and then the end.
The world's biggest tiny luxury homes.
Or take your tiny home and make it big.
Yeah. Or we're going to buy 10 tiny homes and put them together for a tiny little community.
And we're going to stack up.
Yes.
Tiny towers. That's what we're going to call them.
Tiny towers. Tiny castles. Tiny chalets. Tiny Versailles. All right, what do you have?
40,000 square foot tiny home.
For two.
Yeah.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So, Jaquetta, we have some news. One of our former guests, Al C.
Okay.
Signal to Noise and Sugar Blast Music Company. Has an event coming up.
Cool.
It's called Sugar Fest. It's going to be August 12th and August 13th in Jersey City at the Citizen Bar that is on 332 Second Avenue in Jersey City. Put it on your calendar and go. Check it out. There's going to be a lot of live bands, and it's a fundraiser to benefit the Fairleigh Dickinson University radio station, WFDU. And this, the money will go in, help support independent artists and keep that station going.
So yeah,
it's a great event.
Is there a website?
Not that I know of right now, but I guess Sugar Blast Music Company.
If you go to their website, they probably have some information
about it. But yeah, it's going to be a great night, lots of great music, and lots of good stuff.
Cool. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and kick off with some reality TV roundup. And this was... So I just cut the cord like a month ago. So I haven't had regular TV. I've just been working with Netflix, and it's actually not been so bad. There's so much stuff on there, but I still like to keep abreast of what's going on in regular TV, just so, you know, if I have to talk about it, I can. So this is a reality TV show that they're trying to put together. It says, "Have you always dreamed of living in a luxury home?" Yes. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
of course.
Sure. Why not?
And then it says, "Have you always wanted your own tiny home?" No. I'm not, I think I like the idea of a tiny home, but like, we're New Yorkers. We already live in tiny homes. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not impressed by your 1,000-foot house because it's twice the size of my apartment.
Yeah, you know?
Like, that's how I feel when I see these tiny homes. Like, oh, it's 850 square feet. I'm like, I know a family of four. Living 700 square feet.
Right.
And making it work.
So of these tiny homes that are on these giant plots of land, it's like, look at how we can squeeze ourselves and our stuff into this shoebox.
So it says, "Are you planning to buy or build your very own tiny ass house?" It says tiny house, but I like tiny ass house. Now HGTV is giving you the chance. So basically, they're casting for a show that is, it's called Tiny Luxury.
Tiny Luxury.
Now to me, those two things, it's like, tiny and luxury go together the same way children and luxury do. They just don't. Like, if there's tiny involved, I don't think it's luxurious. So they're looking for families, couples, individuals, and then it says in parentheses, with quirky and fun sidekicks. So like a comedy duo? Or like, what's a quirky?
A quirky.
C-O-R-K-Y. Quirky, is that? I don't even know what that means. I thought maybe you would know.
No, I thought...
It should be quirky, right?
It should be quirky. I think probably somebody had an autocorrect happen and they didn't realize it.
Writing a press release?
Yes.
they're writing it from their car?
Right.
So they're looking to... People who are looking to take the plunge on their own. Tiny house! Exclamation point.
But they have to have a sidekick?
It says, well, you could be a couple, a family. If you're an individual, you got to have a sidekick.
Okay.
They're not doing single, because if one person living in a tiny house is not tiny, it's just a studio.
Yeah.
You know, up on blocks.
It's just Walden Woods.
Yeah,
Henry David Thoreau.
Exactly.
You're going to watch somebody write in their journal.
Except not the luxury part, right, because he was trying to keep it small. Ideal candidates will be introduced to a highly skilled tiny home building team who will design and construct a 100% customized tiny house that boasts high-end and luxurious amenities, creature comforts, and premium materials. I thought the whole point about the tiny house was that it was, like, cheap and light on the environment.
Yeah, that's supposed to be the thing. That you're
right?
That you're only using what you really need.
Yeah.
And trying to live simply.
Yeah, trying to live simply. We in America have obliterated that with the tiny luxury. They're going to be working with a husband and wife duo. I wonder if they're quirky and fun. Tyson and Michelle Spice, together with Michelle's two brothers and their spouses, they run the country's premier and probably only high-end, tiny-ass home-building company. So this is like a big commercial for them. They design and build custom luxurious homes that can hit the highway. Doesn't this sound like what our grandparents had? It was just an RV.
Right. That was an RV. And oh,
they were big.
And at least you can go wherever you want. So you can have a different change of scenery.
Yeah.
Rather than a tiny home stuck in the woods.
Well, no, apparently this tiny home is on wheels.
Oh.
So I don't know if they have
Yeah, but how good is it on wheels? I mean,
I don't know. Are they with their Mercedes hitched with this thing on the back? Where are these classy high-end people going with a tiny-ass house on wheels?
But there's no suspension underneath the house, so it's not like you can get it over the terrain.
I don't know.
To the area that you want to get it.
But what rich neighborhood's going to let you park this shit in their neighborhood?
Yeah, that's another thing.
You know, like, no one's going to allow that.
I remember in the 70s, cup holders were new, and that was at the height of luxury.
Yes. What a warm seat.
Yeah.
You know? So they're going to build a house from start to finish. It says, if you know someone or you long to have a very tiny luxury home that you can take all over the country, then you have to submit your name, location, and budget range. So I guess you have to pay for this as well. I thought with these shows that they kind of give you the money to build this thing.
That's the thing.
They're free.
Supposed to pay for it. So they want you to pay to be on their show.
Yeah. Well, you have to pay for your own tiny ass house. Mm-hmm. Well, keep in mind, you're a kabillion. You're a tiny millionaire.
Okay.
So you're excited about this. And then that's it. Interested candidates, you have to live in the U.S. and you have to be ready to build your house in the next year.
So you probably have to have a business that you want to pitch and get some high profile views for.
Something.
That's it.
That's it. So it's a tiny ass luxury. Yes, tiny ass luxury.
Very good.
The tiny home. I'm waiting for the tiny homes to be enormous because it's America, and you know we can't do tiny for very long.
Yeah.
It's going to be like big tiny homes.
Yeah, and then
the world's biggest tiny luxury homes.
Or take your tiny home and make it big.
Yeah, or we're going to buy 10 tiny homes and put them together for a tiny little community.
And we're going to stack up.
Yes.
Tiny towers. That's what we're going to call
tiny towers, tiny castles, tiny chalets, tiny Versailles. All right, what do you have?
40,000 square foot tiny home.
For two.
Yeah. Or one and a sidekick.
Yes. Servants' quarters. The servants' quarters are larger than the master's in our tiny home.
I have a listener mail.
Awesome. If you would like to interact with us via email, you can always email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com, and we will read your missive on the air, and we will thank you.
Yes. So this is from Sid.
Sid, what's up? How's it going?
Hey, Sid. Thank you so much for writing in.
Yes. And we love you, and we love your content.
Yes. So the email starts with, from the seriously, robots. Seriously, robot snakes weren't creepy enough department.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Hello, Katie and Jaquetta. As always, I'm emailing you with yet another example of how the human race is determined to bring Skynet to life.
Oh, no.
I present to you robot manta rays, and then a bonus.
No, you're not. Apparently, you are not presenting that. I'm stopping that right now.
Oh,
this
yeah.
email is over.
Oh, it's happening.
It's not
there
happening.
It's a jellyfish version.
Stop.
Yes.
Really?
Ugh. So we'll start with the stingray. Scientists have developed a robotic stingray that could help our understanding of the human heart.
Really? And how to stop it by scaring it.
How to fall in love.
Yes, how to fall in love. They're going to be giving people heart attacks. Either hand over your wallet or I'll give you a heart attack right now.
The miniature robot, 1/10 the scale of the actual fish, moves using heart cells taken from a rat.
Woo! So it's already angry and thieving. You know what I mean?
Yeah, researchers hope the robotic ray will give new insight into the heart's ability to pump blood and its potential implications in heart disease.
Oh, wow.
It turns out
the secret ingredient is rat. Right? Right? That's the secret ingredient.
Well, it turns out the musculature in the stingray has to do the same thing as the heart does. It has to move fluid.
Okay. Or it gets canned.
Right. The scientists reverse engineered the marine animal to understand how it glides in liquid environments.
Mm-hmm. By reverse engineer, they mean take apart.
Yeah. Heart.
Yes.
Of a rat.
Ugh. The heart of a rat. By Michael Crichton.
Yeah. Or it could be a Joan Collins, or what's the Collins sister that does the writing?
Jackie Collins.
Jackie Collins.
The Hearts of Rats.
The Heart of the Rat.
The Heart of the Rat.
And it's a story of betrayal.
It is a story of betrayal. And lust.
Yeah. Okay, so then they build a robot prototype.
Carnal desires. Sorry. Go ahead. A robo prototype. So,
which contains a gold skeleton and a single layer of 200,000 cardiac cells.
By the way, I just have to cut in here and say that I'm looking at what Katie is reading, and the picture, it looks like Alien. The ones that jump onto your face in Alien.
Right.
That have, like, the long tail. That's what they've made. Congratulations.
So it's half robot and half rat.
Yeah.
And so it'll jump on your face.
Usually they just take things that are real already and creep the shit out of you, but now they've gone right to J.J. Geiger stuff.
Yeah.
To Alien. Yeah, it's the face palm thing.
Yeah.
Ooh. Lays eggs in your throat, etc.
Yeah. When we have a light in front of the ray, we activate an electrical signal in the tissue, and it propagates like a wave through the musculature.
Okay.
You get this undulation motion in the fins, and it looks as if it's chasing the light. Each half of the robot is composed of different cardiac cells, sensitive to specific like wavelengths.
Oof. Mm. So they can control it. What if it's the light disco?
Right.
Yes. It's a strobe light, brother. You look good in the strobe light.
So the rat heart at the disco.
Yes, the rat heart. The heart of the rat. That's terrible.
At the discotheque.
At the disco.
Researchers hope the robotic ray will help the understanding of cardiac physiology. We're making assumptions from our physiology textbooks that a heart beats the same way from every beat.
Well,
I disagree.
You know, yes. Two hearts that beat as one. You know, have they not listened to an 80s song?
But if you talk to a cardiovascular surgeon, they would say, no, it always beats differently.
Well, then don't talk to them.
It's a beat of a different drum.
Yes. Don't talk to them then. Yeah, just don't. If they're giving you shit, tell them that the P, you know, F off.
As a robot with a soft body, the ray is the first.
As a robot with a soft body, I can attest to the difficulties of feeling out there.
Yeah, it's hard on the emotions.
It's hard out there for a chip. Okay.
The ray is the first of its kind compared with other technologies that use rigid frames based on the gait of insects or mammals.
Ugh.
So this is soft.
Oh, this is gross.
My soft rat heart.
My soft rat heart that will, like, lay eggs in your throat.
Yeah, and beat.
Just however.
However it does.
Yeah.
All right, so then on to the next part, they did a jellyfish.
Oh.
Which is nasty.
Yes. And I have to say, jellyfish are one of my favorite animals. I love jellyfish. They're so beautiful in nature. The man-made version, yeah. Not so much.
It was developed by a German engineering firm.
Of course. Freak. German engineering freak is what it says.
Aqua jelly, they call it. They call it aqua jelly. Not
aqua jelly.
The firm is Festo. And uh-huh. They have
what?
Jelly.
This is awful. Festo?
Yeah. Aqua jelly has been developed with an intelligent, adaptive mechanical system, an electronic drive, translucent hemisphere, and 8 tentacles.
That's it?
That's it.
Why go for just 8? Why not go for 13? Because that freaks people out.
Yeah. So they use a short-range radio standard to communicate with other robotic jellyfish up to 80 centimeters away.
Hell, now it's a horde?
Yeah, they all come
good
in.
Good job, Festo. Festo.
Festo stated goals with the aqua jelly is to create a number of the robots and have them communicate with each other, much like real jellyfish.
To kill all humans.
Yeah.
Whereas real jellyfish just eat, like, you know, things that... small fish and things like that. These will be able to attack children.
Right, and they're also talking about how it gets around in water and study that and blah, blah, blah.
It looks crazy. Once again, they've made the stuff of nightmares.
This is all happening. We've got the bats. We've got birds.
We have the origami one. We have that one, the robot that crawls out your ass.
You swallow it and it takes something out.
It finds a battery, supposedly, and then runs out the back door with it.
Yeah, right. And then they're the ones that go up the wall.
Yes. The ones that slide out of the door and then reassemble themselves.
Yeah. This is all, even though we can't see them right now.
It's all happening.
It's happening and they'll soon be out.
I have something worse than that to follow up with this. I have a little robot news of a robot attack.
Oh, my God.
That happened in the mall.
Oh, right. So we'll get to that. But I just want to say thank you.
Yes, thank you, Sid,
so much.
Once again for creeping us out sufficiently.
Yeah, because Sid sent us the one about the robotic snakes that swam underwater.
We're going to have a whole robotic zoo. of horrors.
That's what we could do. Replace all the zoos with robotic animals.
Yeah. Or we could put the people in the zoos and have the robots come by and look at them. Because I think it's where it's going. So this is a piece of robot news straight from Silicon Valley. It says, for Silicon Valley toddlers who are learning to walk, there's a new lesson. Watch out for robots. So apparently they have security robots in the malls out there. Mm-hmm. I don't go to malls. I can't remember the last time. Not because I'm against malls. We don't have them.
Right. Really. We don't really have them here anymore.
Yeah. And I don't have a car, so I'm not going to drive to one.
And we don't really need to go to a mall because we can always find the multi-shops that we need.
Yeah. Somewhere. Or just order stuff online.
Yeah.
So apparently they have security. They've replaced the rent-a-cops, the mall cops, with these robots that look like giant salt and pepper shakers, basically.
Okay.
And they patrol the mall. And they're supposed to alert people towards, or alert the authorities or whatever for a suspicious behavior. So a mother and father watched in horror as a security robot knocked their 16-month-old kid to the ground and ran over his little foot. So
what?
The family and the company that makes the robot have shared conflicting accounts of the run-in. The Tongues, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, they went to Stanford Shopping Center with plans to buy some new clothes for their son. As they walked past Armani Exchange, their son was going a little bit in front of them. They noticed a robot slowly approaching them. Tiffany Tung, that's the mother, said the robot ran directly into her son, striking him in the head and knocking him to the ground. The robot then continued.
Wait, did he punch him in the head?
No, it looks like a salt and pepper shaker. Okay. So I guess they just bumped him.
Okay.
And then it ran over its foot. The kid is okay. The woman said she was screaming. They tried to push the robot away from the son, but obviously that's not going to happen because it's a robot. And then finally the husband was able to pull the child out from underneath the robot. The kid's foot and the kid are fine. Mm-hmm. The kid just really, really freaked out. The company that makes the robot is called Nightscope.
No.
I mean, isn't that just horrifying?
That's like... Yes. I immediately went to the teenage years of the owner of Nightscope. And I'm thinking it was a guy who didn't go out that much.
Yeah, yes.
It was, into his
CB
radio.
But he was drawing different, versions of his logo and, a spiral notebook over and over again with a crappy big pen that he was sucking on. There's, saliva in the pen. He's gross. He's one of those guys. Nightscope.
He's like, one day Nightscope is going to take over. So, and I'm going to be the one everyone goes to for security.
I'm
going to
crush feet. Nightscope, which makes the robot, said the machine veered to the left to avoid the child, but the toddler then ran backwards. The mother said her child is not capable of running backwards, which I believe is a 16-month-old. I don't think he ran backwards.
Nobody runs backwards.
Why would you run backwards? Why wouldn't you just turn around and run away?
Yeah.
It doesn't even, this Nightscope, you don't know what you're talking about. It says, hearing a report that one of our machines may have injured someone is absolutely horrifying. Said Nightscope VP of Marketing and Sales, Stacey Dean Steffens. Our core mission is to ensure public safety, and we are taking this report seriously. X-rays taken after the incident were negative. The toddler has a scrape on the back of one of his knees. Yeah, because kids are made of rubber.
Yeah.
You know, things happen to them. So the K5 robot stands 5 feet tall. Man, I'm 5 feet tall.
Oh.
This isn't good. It looks like a white rocket.
So pretty soon, I'm going to co-host a show with a robot that's 5 feet tall. Because that's the only thing that's the criteria
that's
for
it.
Me, you know it.
It's designed to patrol malls, campuses, and workplaces. It streams live video and can predict unusual and potentially dangerous behavior. The family who live nearby said they've been in the mall several times, never seen a robot before. It didn't have a sign saying go away or do not touch. It looks like R2-D2, and she said it's attractive. She said a mall employee lamented that this was the second time in a week that a child had been struck by the robot. Nightscope says they don't know anything about it. So this robot's going after kids. Spokeswoman for the Simon Property Group, which runs the mall, says it's investigating the incident and its robots are docked until the investigation wraps up. It declined to say whether there had been another accident.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. Look. The company said that they offered to let the Tongues visit their headquarters. No! And they said, no, the kid is probably freaked out.
We're not taking the child to go see this.
You'll never see your child again. They're going to you to come back with something that looks like your child.
Right?
It's not going to be your child at all.
It's going to be a hollow shell of a human being.
Yeah, it says, the fact that the kid was small and agile may have been one of the problems for the robot detecting it.
Well, then we need to redesign children to be...
Yes, more robot friendly.
Yeah.
So they could figure out how not to get their little tiny feet underneath 300-pound robots.
I think, yeah, that's going to be, that's going to replace civics in school.
Yes, how to deal with robots. The place, there's no civics.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to be in the place where civics once was.
Once was. And what else are we going to do away with? Geography.
Yeah, geography. Probably.
Because we all have GPS anyway. Who cares?
A food that has to be chewed.
Yeah.
We're just going to have shakes with the kids. We're going to have an IV hooked up to them.
How to service your robot overlord.
That's to serve man.
Right. That's what the classes are going
to
be.
How to serve. How horrible is that, though? First of all, maybe it's because we're in New York, and any robot like that would either be stolen or abused. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be graffitied while moving. Like, someone would throw a hat over it. Like, it would just become an object of scorn. I'm a Luddite. I don't want this.
Yeah.
If I go into a place and I see a robot, I'm out of there. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
They're trying to transition most jobs into something that a robot could do. And they even do the thing with they put like the iPad at the table and you put your order in.
I'm not doing that. I've left restaurants because they're trying to make me be the waiter.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's not my, what am I going to be in the back next flipping my own fucking burger?
Probably.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm going to the old school place where there's like a snooty waiter
and then
from the 80s.
Then they charge you a fee.
Yeah.
Going back to cook.
Yes. And that's the fun part though.
Yeah.
That's the kind of restaurant that it is where you prepare food yourself.
Right.
I don't like this. It seems like what is wrong? Like what is a crappier, more low paid job than mall cop? Come on, people, bring those back. Mm-hmm. There's dudes out there with nothing to do who want to chase kids around a mall.
Come on, give those guys
yeah.
something too.
What are you gonna do with all those walkie talkies and the little like mall carts?
And the uniforms.
And the uniforms. And just the ridiculousness of, you know, a guy dressed like a Mountie.
Yeah.
In front of Armani Exchange or whatever. All right, what do you have?
Well, just a little side note here. Sid also sent us an email about the robot praying mantises.
Oh, God.
But we already reported those on another
on
show. And it
episode.
Just kind of, we were like two ships that passed in the night, so we got that.
We're giving you a shout out.
Giving you a shout out, because technically you did get to us in time, but we did already report on it. So thank you very much again.
There's two robotic ships crossing in the digital night.
It was in an episode we talked about robot praying mantises, and we called them...
Johnny Mathis, praying mantis. Chances are
you'll be killed. Yeah. So thank you, Sid.
They got the four R's.
What's the four R's? Rehearse, record, rinse, repair.
To all that was 40th Street. Hashtag Bonfire NYC.
I think a while ago you had mentioned that you had seen Zoo. Were you watching Zoo?
Yes.
Okay, so what is the premise of Zoo?
The premise of Zoo.
The miniseries or
a
regular
series? It's a
miniseries,
and it has the father from Twilight in it.
Okay, that's the premise?
Yeah.
It's the father from Twilight.
He's in there.
Okay.
He's like the second. There's some other, supposedly like this cute guy in it, who, whatever. Anyway, animals are starting to fight back.
Okay.
And they're not taking the BS from the human beings anymore.
Are these animals in zoos? Are these just like animals in general?
In general.
Okay.
So it started out with the lions out in Serengeti.
That's how it always starts.
It's like the lions attacked. Somebody dragged a guy and brought him up in a tree and had him in the tree, but didn't kill him.
Just messing with him.
Yeah. And just as a warning, leaving him there for the other humans.
As a warning?
Yeah.
Wow.
So then
are they talking? Is it a Dr. Dolittle situation?
No, they're not talking. But they're just not taking it anymore.
Okay,
they're not having it. They're not having it.
No, that's fine. Legitimate.
And then it went on to birds and bats and then watch out for your dogs. And then a bunch of cats went up a tree. And they were ready.
And then all hell broke loose.
And all these cats went up the tree, but they were over a playground. And they were waiting for the kids to come by because they would jump on the kids and just
really?
Pummel them.
Yeah, right? Katie's showing me that it's like a knuckle sandwich. I don't know how this works with a cat, but I like it.
And so it's happening all over the world, and there's this ragtag team of
scientists, epidemiologists
that are now wanted by this other group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who is actually behind the whole thing? Because there's some kind of mutation
that's causing the animals to revolt,
and it's done in the mutation. That spoiler alert: 4, 3, 2, 1. There is some like a kind of an additive in all the food.
Okay.
In humans and in animal food.
That everyone's eating.
Everybody has. And okay. Now it's causing this mutation in the animals, which is causing them to attack.
Okay. So I was wondering, because I watched a wonderful asylum film mm-hmm. over the weekend called Zombies. And basically this movie is, they've taken the cover image of Zoo mm-hmm. and just changed that a little bit. But they've taken the premise of the Zoo series plus Jurassic Park and put them together into a movie that is hilarious.
So it's dinosaurs that are?
No, they're just.
Are they dead animals?
They are animals that have some kind of rage. And monkeys attack. Mm-hmm. They rip a woman's eyes out and throw it.
Oh.
But the best part of this movie is that
it's too violent.
I've never seen giraffes attack before, and they do.
And they do.
They do. So it's the idea of Jurassic Park only insofar as that it's a park. That's all.
All right. Well, you push a giraffe too far.
You push a giraffe too far.
It's gonna attack.
So I would just like to say it's out there on Netflix. If you're looking for bad blockbuster films, aka mockbuster zombies. From the Asylum has got to be the best. The Asylum is the name of the company that makes these films. They can make a film in two. They said the least time they've ever written a script in was like 2 days, up to 2 months. I mean, these guys bang out because the Zombies the Zoo is new, correct? Mm-hmm. They came out with this like around the same time. They didn't even wait. They just saw like a poster and ran with it. So this movie, Zombies, check it out. It's Jurassic Park plus.
They had no idea what
Zoo.
It was about, really.
They saw the poster. They got it pretty close.
But it's a James Patterson novel.
Yeah.
So think that
they could have looked on the back of the novel and gotten the entire novel from that. James Patterson. All right.
So they write them in 2 days?
Sometimes, yeah. When you're taking, I don't want to say steal, when you're paying l'homage, mm-hmm. as one does, to films that are so well known. I think 30% of all their movies are Jurassic Park. Like, they just take things that have worked in other movies and they're like, yeah, we'll lay that on there. These are people that came out with Sharknado. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what they do. They take it, you know, they see what other people are doing and then they, you know, improve upon it. Kind of like advice on advice.
Okay.
They're like movie on movie. That's what they do.
Right. Oh God, I can't wait to see that.
So what do you have?
I have advice on advice.
Speaking of which, advice on advice is a segment where we take advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it, giving our advice on the advice, hence advice on advice, which is what Asylum does. They take a film that's out there and frankly stinks and they improve upon it.
Right.
But theirs.
Giving you movie hours of entertainment.
Yeah, movie right. on movie. 90 minutes of entertainment.
Right. This one's called Better Safe Than Sorry.
Oh, is it?
And it's Dear Margot.
Okay.
Dear Margot, I've just learned that my 14-year-old daughter has had sex with her slightly older boyfriend.
Wow.
14.
Well, I hate to say it. When I was growing up out in the country, I think 13 is when we thought sex started.
Yeah.
I think that's when we thought it was.
Yeah.
By 16, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right? Right, right. While I would have said she is mature, I clearly missed something. Most of their time together was under my watchful eye, and I am fond of the boy.
You only need a minute, lady. Yeah, come on. What is wrong
time.
With you?
You don't need much time.
You need a few
I'm going
minutes.
To the bathroom. Oh, yeah. I have to go to the bathroom.
Spring, and they're young?
Mm-hmm.
They've done it twice.
However, I truly don't know where to go from here. I don't want to create Romeo and Juliet by saying they cannot see each other, but I am terrified of the consequences for my daughter if she goes further down this path.
It's well, what path? It's done!
Plus, I am furious with this boy with whom I previously had a good relationship. My daughter and I have had several good talks, but I had no clue as to what her rules should be from here on out. What is the best way to keep the barn door locked?
So, first of all, the barn door is already, like, the mm-hmm. barn's over.
Mm-hmm.
The barn is open. It's not just a field
yeah.
for everyone to be yeah. in. I understand, but, like, she's upset with the boy for having consensual sex with her daughter?
Yeah.
Is that what
both,
happened?
Yeah.
And they're so
they're
what, she's 14, he's like, what?
15
or 16? Yeah. What do you want? I mean.
Because it's the mother's idea. Like, oh, he's a nice boy. So she desexualized him. And that's her problem.
She shouldn't have done that. Yeah, she shouldn't have done that. It's just kind of weird. It's not like they haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
And she's talking about Romeo and Juliet. So she's already going down the wrong path.
Right.
Right.
Right, right. So,
how did she find out?
Well, I don't know.
If the daughter told her, that's actually a good thing, right?
Yeah, that is good. But this is, if the daughter isn't pregnant or doesn't have an STD right
yeah.
now, this is the time to make sure she knows.
Yeah,
how
and I'm hoping that the sex was, I mean, I'm assuming it was consensual, but I'm also hoping it was safe. Although at that age, pregnancy is really if they're two first timers, pregnancy is the issue, crazy STDs. From here on in, you got to go in for it.
I beg to differ with these kids.
Who have never had sex with anyone before?
Because I remember in high school, there were other guys who went to prostitutes, high school students.
At 16?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they thought it was funny.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't be using protection, but I'm just saying if she knows for sure that it was her daughter's first time and the boy's first time, then pregnancy is the
major issue,
thing. Now, obviously, is the time to talk about condoms and birth control and other reproductive, issues.
Yeah, and to establish it in a way that makes her
not ashamed. Yeah, I think she's going to make this girl feel bad.
Yeah.
Because you know when you're a young girl and someone makes you feel bad about having sex, you're like, I'm going to do it more.
Yeah.
I'm already ruined. Yeah. Who cares?
Oh, I didn't know that it was going to make me be worthless.
I thought it was a good thing because it felt good.
Yeah. Like, right.
We had a good time. Now you're saying we're wrong.
Now what? How can I undo this? How can I unring this bell?
3 minutes of fun.
Yeah. This miserable life that I have with my mom.
Now what am I going to do?
Okay. So... the advice is, my dear, let's be realistic. To stick with your metaphor, the horse is already out of the barn, so forget the lock.
Yeah.
That's true. As the great acting coach Stella Adler said, don't go back, go on.
Yes. Don't go back, go on.
The hormones are hopping. The good talks have already taken place, and you have to deal with reality. You've obviously paid attention to this child and done your best to instill the values you think are important. And nature has trumped nurture.
Yeah. They didn't do anything wrong. Yeah.
I believe if you locked her up, except for going to school, she would still find a way if she were so inclined. Because she already got out and did the deed.
Got out. I love this. I think people forget what it was like to be a teenager. Mm-hmm. You want to have sex. Adults want to have sex. Yeah. Like, whatever.
Yeah, it's not. It's the same with everybody.
Everybody wants to do it.
Okay. The thing to do now is either to take her to your family doctor or to Planned Parenthood so she and the young man can control what happens. As for the people who preach abstinence, please do not send me mail about this. Statistics have shown that a large percentage of the kids who take the abstinence pledge don't honor it.
Yeah, of course they don't.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. I think people forget that, like, you really don't know when you're a teen when you're going to have sex.
Right.
You have no idea. It's just like a thing that
You're not carrying around condoms all the time, even if you know. And then, I mean, think about it. Like, I'm looking at what's in my handbag nowadays. Like, I have tissues. I have a Tide to-go pen. Like, I'm prepared for anything. And teens are not.
And that, I mean...
They got their Pokemon Go.
But it's also this idea, too, that, like, they're not doing anything wrong or strange. This is like what we're all programmed to kind of do.
Yeah, it's right.
Like, this is, and if we don't do it, there's not going to be anybody.
Right.
Like, if the party is over, like forever. So as long as they're practicing safe sex.
It should be like potty training, right?
Yes.
It should be like, this is how your body works.
And yes.
You're going to have these
organs. I mean, they figured it out.
Yeah.
You know? And here's the thing, too, is like, you can't say to a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old or 16-year-old, whatever, they've had this amazing experience, sex, and now you're like, that's it. They're going to have it a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, they're still, right now, wherever they are, they're thinking about, how can I get that again?
Right.
Because they've done it.
Right.
So now, once you've done it, what's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they just keep having sex as long as it's safe until they decide they don't want to be with each other or until they decide they want to,
Yeah, you can't wrap them up.
Yeah. I just hope it wasn't crappy. Because they're young.
Sex.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it is, it was probably fantastic.
I hope it was fantastic. That's
because
all I'm saying.
New.
That's my concern.
They don't even know.
That would be my discussion.
They don't know yet.
And that's why I probably don't have kids. I would be like, was it okay? And they'd be like, Mom.
That reminds me
sure it was fun.
Of the movie The Blue Lagoon.
I never watched
The Blue Lagoon.
Because I started and I was like, who are these naked white people? I'm like a little kid. I was like, I'm turning this off.
Brooke Shields and Christopher Atkins are children and they're shipwrecked on an island. And they have the captain there. And the captain teaches them how to live. But then he has a heart attack and dies.
Okay.
So he...
Well, they're like, thank goodness. He was really harsh and Carmelo.
But they were like 10 when they got there. So now that a few years go by, a little older, they go through the whole puberty thing by themselves. They don't even know what's
going on.
How is
she managing her period on this island?
She figures it out.
Nefertiti style. From reeds. She works it out.
She works it out.
I guess you would.
But
right?
But she, like, it happened for the first time. There's a scene about it. And she's like, ah, I'm dying, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing was, they had sex on the island. They figured it out.
Yeah. Did and they have a kid?
They did have a kid.
Okay.
Of course, there's no protection.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, like, they were able to, they did what people have been doing forever. Mm-hmm. They worked it out.
But Brooke Shields was a virgin when she was filming.
That. Okay.
She had never had sex before. She never, you know. And so during the sex scene, they would, somebody, the crew would pinch her toe. So she would make a face.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's an interesting way to deal with that because she didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
They're like, we'll poke you.
We'll pinch your toe.
Wow. Yeah, that movie always seemed good. I think it would be creepy to watch it, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that kind of a movie. It was the 70s, right?
80s, early 80s.
80s. Yeah. And then I know Brooke Shields was always weird because they were, like, sexualizing her when she was, like, 8.
Yeah.
Which was, like, I thought that was weird as a kid. I also never thought she was very attractive because it looked like she had those massive eyebrows.
Yeah, she was a different look because a lot of the models at the time were blonde.
And she was very horsey.
She wasn't horsey. She just had, no, I don't think she was horsey. She had.
I've never liked her. I've never seen
it. She had thick eyebrows and, you know, darker hair. And that was not.
That was a big thing.
That was
See, I guess as a black person, I wasn't reacting to that. The dark hair and the thing. I was just like, this woman is weird.
Yeah.
Big feet. I don't know what's going on. Now I think she's selling. This is what you tell you. You're getting old. I would think I was in CVS or something, and she's selling reading glasses.
Oh, yeah.
She's advertising that, and she's also advertising, like, Lazy Boys or something.
Yeah. So put on your glasses,
I guess.
Back in a chair.
Yes, sit back in a chair and relax. Oh, I like that one. Yes, out of the gate, as it were. So I am putting this in as Barnyard News on the Cats Might Be God.
Okay.
This is an interesting story from Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. It says, I love local newspapers because it's like they got to do whatever they have to do to make that story. A few too many feral felines
we're
has...
going to press.
Yes, we're going to press. That's downtown Paws Valley Animals Furious. So apparently there's so many cats roaming around this town. The town smells like a litter box.
Oh, and that's a lot of cats.
That's a lot of cats.
That's if the town smells.
Yeah, and they just passed an ordinance saying that you cannot feed a cat. If you are found feeding a cat on the street, you will be fined $200.
That is against my morals.
It says here, according to Estelle Lopez, a local resident, this is her quote, they're always like in threes or fours. They're just chilling, running around all over the neighborhood. Like three or four cats together is weird.
Yeah.
You don't really see like
that's right,
the
they
cats.
Don't. They don't pack.
Now they do because these are feral. It says the train, apparently they like to hang out at the train station and that's become a problem. The stench is there. People are reporting them. People are upset. People are talking about cat poop. It's all over the place. What can we do about it? Someone says here, it smells like a litter box just where we're standing. This is during the interview. And it smells like the dead, like rotting. It's just gross, someone said. So then they go to the police because, you know, they got to beef up the story to find out what happens. And the police said they have a lot of people over the years that would feed cats. And so by doing so, they were just supplying everything that the cats needed to grow the population. It's like, yeah, people started feeding cats, but that still doesn't explain. People feed cats everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not a bizarre thing.
Well, they just
thing.
Didn't have a good neuter program.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying. They said, maybe now we should start a neutering program.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
And catch them in
you guys
room,
think?
Yeah.
You think that might be a good idea?
Or everybody leave town and let it be cat town.
Yes, let it be cats. That's what I think cats want.
Then we could go in and just clean up a few of the houses and have them be have like little B&Bs for like
cats.
People. No, for cat
people. Oh, for cat people.
So if you want to be among like a million cats, but you can't
do
that.
Or you're like, you're a reformed cat hoarder.
Yeah.
You don't want to hoard anymore, but you want to be around a shitload of cats.
Yeah, then you go for on a vacation
to cat town. But this is why cats might be God, because we just decided here after reading that there are a lot of cats, that people should leave.
Yeah.
That the people are the problem. That's how cats work.
Yeah.
So that is my, cats.
Cats.
A town
cats.
With cats are getting out of control. And the police aren't doing anything about it. Mm-hmm. They're just telling people not to feed the cats. All right, so I got a little news. This is something that, you know, I think is really important. These are 7 ways to open a bottle of wine if you don't have a corkscrew.
Okay.
Some of these I think you know.
All right, but so, we tried one out here in the Hey You Know It studio once. And it did not work.
It did not work.
It was really sad.
It was bad. So the first one is use an actual screw. I would never have thought about this. So it says the longer the better. I mean, no shit, really. So you need a screw, screwdriver, and a hammer. Right. So you take this screw and then you screw it into the cork with a screwdriver. And then once it's in, use the hammer as you would normally use a hammer. And then you simply hook it and remove it. Not bad.
Yeah, because it mimics the whole action. Yeah,
it's actually a you're actually using like a corkscrew.
A corkscrew, rather. Right? Yes, yeah.
So that's one. And I would never think of that. But yeah, unfortunately in my life, sometimes I do have a screw, a screwdriver, a hammer, but no corkscrew. So that would work out. The second one is, I think, one that we've all done, which is to push the cork in with a wooden spoon or a chopstick.
Yeah, but that's not super classic.
It's not the best, but you know, if you got to drink that wine, you got to drink that wine. Right. Number three, pump it out. It says take a bike pump that has a needle attached and plunge it into the cork and then just pump.
Oh.
And apparently when you pump the air into the bottle, as you pump, the cork will slowly move out of the bottle from the air pressure.
Oh.
So your pump, you stick it further enough down that it can go all the way through.
The cork and then
you start pumping.
That's a pretty next level thing.
I don't have a bike pump, but someone might. The next one is to twist it out with keys or a serrated knife. This sounds like something that would just end in horror and tragedy for me. So
cursing and crying. Yes. And loose cork will get in the wine and I'll be angry.
So it says just use your keys, a serrated knife, plunge the item into the cork at a 45 degree angle. That is so not going to happen.
Yeah.
That is not going to happen at all. And then twist it out. After a couple of rotations, it should be able to get out. It says that be careful, though, because you don't want the cork to crumble. If the cork does crumble, they just say strain it out. This one is wrap a bottle with a towel and use the wall to smack it out.
Yeah, we tried that.
Is that the one that we tried?
What we tried, we took a shoe.
Oh, that's on there, too. Slap it with a shoe.
Yeah.
This says simply, and you know it's not going to work, simply wrap the bottom of the bottle of wine in a thick towel or two and then bang it against the wall repeatedly. Now, obviously the bottle may break if you do this, so consider it a last resort. Then what we can do, wring out the towel into our mouths?
Yeah. Get a sieve and strain out the glass.
Yeah, and then strain out the glass and then drink it. Number six, slap it out with a shoe, which I've seen people do before.
We tried to do.
And I've never seen it work.
Corkscrew.
Yeah, I've just seen people look like a Marx Brothers film. That's what it looks like to me. The wine has never been opened that way. And then the last one is apply heat to move the cork out. So it says it's pretty far out. If you have a blowtorch, if you can apply heat to the part of the wine bottle below the cork, the heat should force the cork to move upward and eventually out. However, make sure the bottle is not cold. We repeat, not cold. Or else it could explode.
Listeners, just don't do that. Don't do that one.
This one is terrible.
Get a firecracker. Near the bottle.
The coolest thing I've ever seen.
And the bottle explodes. And then you just hold your glass out.
It's just have your mouth open.
Yeah.
Nearby.
Yeah.
The coolest thing I've ever seen is sabering. I watched a video on it. I don't know if you've ever seen it. You're classier than I am. It's where you take a bottle of champagne if it's been in the freezer for a moment.
I don't even know if classy is the word for me.
Classy.
You're classier. And I'm wait a minute.
You're classier than I am.
I don't think so.
And then you take a sword and you cut the top of the bottle off.
Oh, yeah.
And it's awesome. So why isn't that on here? Could that only be done with champagne?
Probably.
Could I take a cleaver and just hack open a bottle of sweet white wine?
Because then they're telling people to pick up machetes.
You know that most of the stuff that we drink, though, probably doesn't even have a cork.
Yeah.
Not a lot of jugs have corks.
Yeah. Not a lot of boxes have corks.
Not a lot of boxes have corks either.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
Yeah. Because now you have a strainer.
Now you need a strainer.
Right.
So for that, you can use a sock or a coffee filter.
Sure, yeah, whatever. These pantyhose.
Take them off your leg.
Yes. Yeah. Like a knee high. Those are the worst. I hated those. Those remind me of church and being forced to go. I also remember, too, getting to the point of when you're, like, preteen, when you know that the knee high looks bad and you don't give a shit. You're like, let it hang below the skirt. I don't care. And you're just wearing, like, a knee high that's, like, mid, you know.
They didn't even have a lot of stretch.
Nope.
In the
It was always elephant legs.
Yeah.